When you hire people for your companies, do you put them through a battery of tests?
You know, not so much. We know what we're looking for, and we're mainly hiring for attitude. We can train the skill sets for hospitality very, very quickly if you've got the right approach and the right spirit, the right attitude, the right enthusiasm. We're a lot more methodical about it than we used to be, I will admit. You know, and fired that first young lady, Stacy Knight, out of the first night's crowd. We didn't know much about employment practices and discrimination and harassment and all the things that we deal with, obviously, in being an employer today. By the way, we employ about 500 people at any one time today. So obviously things have changed considerably. But what was important, we did have an appreciation of how important people are to our business. Our people are our business. And when they interact with our customer, absolutely our whole reputation goes on the line with every one of those interactions. So our people are special to us. They've got to deliver a nice experience, one that people want to recreate over and over and over again for us to be successful. So we spend an awful lot of time coaching people up, trying to catch them doing things right and reinforcing those positive behaviors. That's who we are. It's how we're made. And we realize that it takes a lot of great people every single day to continue to build the brand. And we'll never have it made. Like I said, every time we interact with another customer, the whole reputation kind of goes on the line. So you've got to keep building it. It's eternal. As long as we want to be in this business, we've got to be working hard to make sure that we're doing that and delivering that every single day.
Can you size up a prospective employee pretty fast because you're looking for attitude and smile? Are you able to say within the first 5 minutes this person is going to be good for us or not?
I would like to think so. Now, I'll be honest. I don't personally select the employees anymore. But I would sure hope that that's what we're looking for. You know, I can't speak to it exactly, but every employee we hire go through what we call Smiles 101. And at Smiles 101, they learn some history of the company, and they get about 45 minutes of me going through our vision of greatness and what my expectations are. And I absolutely tell people, you know, this stuff is not optional. If you cannot do this and don't want to do this willingly, please don't clock in again. Don't work here. We can agree to disagree agreeably. Go do something else. Please still be our customer. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it will make you a bad fit. And just stress how important they are, that they will determine the future of the place. And if they don't want to do all these things, they're going to basically tear down what we've worked so hard for all these years to build up. Most people buy in, some don't. But if they don't, in effect, they self-select out. We can't have it. We can't tolerate anything short of really enthusiastically trying to help us grow and build and deliver that experience to our customers.
We're sitting in a conference room here. Right on the wall behind you is the vision of greatness with team members, with guests, and with suppliers. Can you just summarize what is stated on that?
Certainly. Well, the vision of greatness does talk about how we want to relate, how we're going to take the core values that we agreed that we shared back in 1990 when that was created, that's 22 years ago, and how we want that to be manifested and acted out in the way we run our company. So those three core constituencies are critical. We put our team members first because if we don't have a great team, we're not going to have any customers. Now, without external customers, there's no doubt the business is dead. We're done. All the buildings are for sale. Nobody has a job. We're just out of business. But we decided to put the team members first because really, if we don't have a great team, we're not going to have customers. So that's why they're arranged the way they are. But you know, up there, the very first thing under team members says to establish a climate of openness, mutual respect, and teamwork. Well, the idea of openness is, hey, we got to be able to talk to you very directly, candidly about what's expected, what we've got to do to be successful. Mutual respect. We require that everybody treats everybody on the team with dignity and respect. Obviously, people are going to like some more than others, but everybody deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, a life lesson my father taught me very, very early in my life. And last but not least, teamwork. You got to be willing to do whatever needs to be done right now with a sense of urgency. Because in our business, we've got to be respectful of our customers' time, and sense of urgency is critical. So if you don't have energy and you're not willing to do anything asked, I never want to hear, that's not my job, that's not my section. No, if you're on the clock, you do whatever's required right now. And if you can't agree with that, that's okay, but you can't work here. And I also point out that I will do the same thing. If I go in the restrooms and they're trashy, I pick it up. I don't go find somebody else to pick it up. I do it. When we're behind bussing tables, I'll bus tables. You know, whatever it is, right now, it's got to be done. That's just one line out of that. There's a lot of lines there.
But it's interesting, too, that it's very important that you work with suppliers, and you probably hearken back to your father on
absolutely.
That, because you said earlier that they were some of his best friends.
Oh, absolutely.
So they weren't there just to serve you, but they were friends of yours.
That's correct, and we have similar relationships. I mean, the first thing it says under that is we encourage long-standing and mutually profitable relationships. You know, it's not about beating every supplier up to get the absolute last dollar out of every one of them. It's about working together, having a lifelong, mutually profitable relationship where you really are on the same team. And we really, whenever we talk about it, we talk about our supplier slash partners, because they are partners. We cannot be successful without great suppliers. It just amplified for me even more when we got in the promotional products business, because so much of what we do in that industry is someone wants this pen, for example, with their logo on it. Well, we place that order for you, and we get you a proof that you can look at, either a virtual sample on paper or maybe a physical sample if it's that important to you. But at the end of the day, another manufacturer makes this pen, prints that pen, and drop ships it straight to your location. If they don't do a great job, our 100% satisfaction guarantee kicks in. And hey, you're not out of dime. We are. So we've got to have great suppliers to have that kind of trust in them to offer that 100% satisfaction guarantee. And I've got examples where when that supplier messes it up, I still stand behind it. It's what I say, so it's what I do. I tell our people, there's no amount of money that's going to compromise my values. You can't buy my values. I don't care how big the order is. The biggest one that I can give you a hard and fast example on was 45,000 fans messed up by our supplier, didn't get there on time. And the salesperson calls me and says, well, what do I do? I said, we stand behind it. What's our guarantee? 100% satisfaction guarantee, right? That's right. So they pay nothing. Oh, okay. Just want to make sure. But that's $18,000 on the line. You can't buy my values or my principles for $18,000. We do what we say we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, she was able to get an unprinted product and was able to ship it in time. And the customer got what they needed, thankfully. But hey, there was no question over the money whether or not we were going to stand behind it.
Yeah.